This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So after a six-year absence, Dr. Bruce Maccabee will be joining us in just a moment. But of course, uppermost on everybody's mind is the pandemic. And Randall and I have had an ongoing discussion about it. And he wanted to mention something that will probably be somewhat political, but let's just go through it and then get on to the main topic of discussion. Randall?
Yeah, thanks, Gene. I ran across something earlier this week that's been out for a while. It's called the Great Barrington Declaration. Now, the Great Barrington Declaration, now signed by over 11,400 medical and public health scientists from around the world, advocates a targeted approach to pandemic management that does away with lockdowns and fines and other unnecessary behavioral controls that they believe could cause more casualties over the long term than the virus itself. Now, its critics have misrepresented it in a number of ways, including saying it's politically motivated and that it advocates a herd immunity approach to pandemic management. You can confirm what it's actually about for yourself by visiting the Great Barrington Declaration website, where you can review the actual declaration, the FAQs, and sign on as a concerned citizen or medical professional. I've done it myself and hope others will do the same. That's about all I really have to say about it, but I believe that because it can save more lives in the long run, that we really need to take a look at this more seriously than we have been so far.
Well, of course, Bruce and I are in the age bracket where we are certainly concerned about this, but I'd rather not get into the ins and outs because that's a different show.
I feel like I got a bullseye on my back.
Well, remember, we are in that age group.
Yes, I know, age 78.
That is amazing, Bruce. The Great Barrington Declaration does advocate a targeted approach that pays special attention to people in high-risk groups. So it's not saying that we should all just let the virus run willy-nilly out in the community like some of these people are saying. It's become highly politically charged. No, they really want to take more of the money that's been wasted on the lockdowns and put it towards helping people who really need it while keeping the boat afloat so that everybody can maintain their quality of living and save more lives in the long run. It's a really good idea. And 11,400 medical and public health scientists from around the world, not just in the United States, I mean, they can't all be wrong.
At least I don't have any grandparents to protect. Or any parents, as a matter of fact, because I've outlived everybody. In fact, other than Dr. Bruce Maccabee, I'm the oldest person in the world right now. Bruce, it's been 6 years since we've had you on the PowerCast, and there's some stuff we really want to talk to you about. But I wanted to maybe have you catch up. There's a lot of listeners out there who have heard of you, but don't know really the kind of work you've done. I know you've covered a lot of UFO-related subjects. In fact, you had a book out 2 years ago that no one told us about, The Legacy of 1952, The Year of the UFO. Your publisher, I guess, forgot to tell us. But basically speaking, what got you as a scientist interested in the subject?
Well, it was the explanations or attempted explanations that failed. When I first started looking into this way back in the late 60s, I was struck by the attitude of the skeptics that there was nothing to it, and they'd propose explanations for various sightings, explanations which were clearly wrong. And I could see as a scientist, I could see the average person might not know it was wrong, but I could see it was there were wrong explanations, and the government. This is Project Blue Book primarily, managed to get away with it. This situation is well illustrated by the first sighting, Kenneth Arnold, June 24th, 1947. I've written a book about it. As a matter of fact, it's the only book devoted to Kenneth Arnold's sighting. You would think that such a book would have been written way back in the 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, but the people who read about his sighting considered it to be weak testimony, since it was only one person involved, it seemed. But what attracted me to this subject of UFOs was explanations, like, for example, for the Kenneth Arnold explanation. If you look at Project Blue Book file for what's the official explanation for Kenneth Arnold's sighting, it says mirage. Well, now, we all know what a mirage looks like. I guess anybody who's driven along a highway is heated by the sun, and is a reasonably flat highway. You see distorted images of whatever is up ahead of you, caused by variations in temperature of the atmosphere in various levels. And that variation in temperature of the atmosphere causes light beams to bend and distorts images. You can also see the same effect if you look through the air. The hot air is rising up above a candle. Look at the distance, something in the distance through a candle and play heat. And you see this distortion going on. Well, then you're talking about a particular type of mirage, a mountaintop mirage. A mountaintop mirage, you have to be about at the altitude of the mountain in order to see the mirage. And what you do see is an inverted image of the peak of the mountain. Kenneth Arnold is near a mountain called Mount Rainier, 14,400 feet is Mount Rainier. And Kenneth Arnold is about 9,500. So, in principle, there could have been a mirage of the mountain peak if the layer air temperature gradient was proper. Well, Kenneth Arnold was definitely describing objects that flew from his left up to the north of where he was. He was in an airplane 20-some miles south-southwest of Mount Rainier. And he first noticed these things off to his left, north, and they traveled at high speed right across in front of him, and he lost sight of them by Mount Adams 50 miles south. So there was a huge amount of left-right motion for these objects. Well, guess what? A mountaintop mirage sits on top of the mountain. It doesn't go anywhere unless the mountain. If the mountain blew up, maybe the mountain mirage would move. But when I read that the official explanation is a mountaintop mirage, I know there's something wrong here. Those guys in the Air Force can't be that stupid, can they? A lot of explanations were offered. I invite anybody to get a hold of a book I wrote called 3 Minutes in June. 3 Minutes in June. That's the sighting time of Kenneth Arnold's sighting. 3 Minutes in June, the sighting that changed the world. It's a technical analysis of Arnold's sighting and everything that goes along with it and the reaction of the news media and so on to what he said. Anyway, I was learning this stuff in the late 60s and early 70s, and what got me interested in it, as I said, it was the explanations. And then I sort of had the feeling, after some years of investigations and talking to witnesses and getting their stories out and so on, that a UFO investigator sort of like a lawyer for the witness. The witness is accused of a crime, seeing a UFO, and then the lawyer tries to justify whatever the witness is claiming and get the reality level of it. And so sort of like a defense attorney for the witness, rebutting the explanation, the failed explanation. And I had a lot of experience with the failed explanation.
let's get into more of this and get into more of the current stuff with Dr. Bruce McAbee. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hello, Paracast people. I'm Greg Carlwood, the host of the Higher Side Chats podcast, an uninterrupted and action-packed interview-based show where I talk to some of the brightest minds for our troubled times about all things paranormal, occult, esoteric, and conspiratorial. After 10 years, we've heard it all. Alien moon bases, archons, hollow earth, technocratic and biomedical agendas, magic, mind control, and Lovecraftian monsters. Oh my. Usually, the first hour of the show is free, and the second hour is for members who sign up for the Higher Side Chats Plus at $8 a month. But praise be, we're giving Paracast listeners 2 free weeks of Plus when you use the all caps coupon code PARACAST. Go to thehiresidechats.com, sign up with the code PARACAST, and dive into the nearly never-ending archive of great interviews I've been lucky enough to get over the years, from David Politis to David Icke, and many, many guests not named David. Check it out. You're going to love it. All right, Gene, was that good? Can we use that one?
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have 2 convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become 1 in a million.
Extend your life with
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Dr. Bruce McAbee joining us, retired Navy physicist, and we're going back to the beginning where he first became interested in UFOs, read about the Kenneth Arnold sighting, and was concerned about the explanation that it was a mirage. Now, obviously we've all heard about Arnold, but you focused a lot more attention on Arnold than others did. Did you follow his goings-on when he worked with Ray Palmer to investigate Maury Island at all?
I didn't pay any attention to that in the book. I realized there was follow-on stuff, but what is important in that first sighting is all the information that's needed to understand that first sighting. Arnold talked about it many, many times over the years following. I've provided in the book four different testimonies, you might say. His first, the day after the sighting, his discussion on a radio interview, and then a couple of weeks later he wrote a document that's in the Project Blue Book file. There's a big long letter to the Air Force describing the sighting minute by minute. And then a third version of the story is published in The Coming of the Saucers, the book that Palmer published about Camp Arnold sighting. And the fourth one, it was at the MUFON symposium, or not MUFON, UFO symposium in San Francisco in 1987, 40th anniversary. Four different times that he's asked to recite the history of his sighting, and they're all the same, even over that big space of time. He never expanded it or anything. Now, there was one thing that the Air Force didn't realize, left out of their testimony or their analysis, was that a prospector, Fred Johnson, was prospecting on Mount Adams, 50 miles south of where Kenneth Arnold was. And this Fred Johnson wrote a letter to the FBI saying that he saw this object and he saw this object, he saw objects fly over, and his compass wobbled as they traveled by. So Fred Johnson not only is another witness, he's the first person to talk about electromagnetic effects from flying saucers.
That's really interesting, actually.
Gotta get the book. You see how I argue that Kenneth Arnold was the right guy at the right time in the right place. He was in an airplane that gave him a horizon-to-horizon view. He could see somebody on the ground might have seen these things fly over for a few seconds. They might see him, but that's Arnold had them in sight for 3 minutes. And he wondered, he said, as he's looking at these strange things, he's trying to understand why he can't see any wings, why he can't see any control surfaces, why he can't see any evidence of propulsion jets or propellers or anything normal. So it was like a semicircular thing with a convex rear end. And he had a clock on his dashboard. He looked at when these things went by. Mount Rainier, which was a little bit to his left and 20 miles away, he started the clock, you might say. 102 seconds later, they were going past Mount Adams. That calculated out to 1,700 miles an hour. So that was the guy who broke the sound barrier did it in October of 1947. That was about 700 miles an hour. So these things are already going 1,000 miles an hour faster than our fastest aircraft.
Right, and they were seen as, when he reported them, not necessarily as saucers, but if I recall correctly, they were almost like a bat wing on the back, described as that. And nothing like that in those days could break the sound barrier. I'm not even sure if they do today. I know they've got the B-2 bombers and such, and they're pretty bizarre looking, but we didn't really have anything quite like that then. I mean, there was the flying wing, but
The actual description of the shape, he drew a picture of it. There are 9 objects that he counted. One of them was different from the rest. He thought that one might be special because it might be the one in control of the others. He didn't know.
Right.
But 8 of them looked like if you took a plate, if you're looking at the looking along the axis of this thing, it's circular, mostly circular. but at the rear edge, it straightened out to form a V shape at the back, a wide angled V shape.
Exactly. Now, have you seen
had one that had
Dr. McAbee?
Yes.
Yes. Have you seen James Fox's new documentary, The Phenomenon, yet?
I have not.
That is something you should check out. Now, he covers Arnold's case briefly there, and he, and you may have seen this somewhere else, but he found another witness to a very similar type of craft right around the same time as that sighting. It's got a photograph of what looks like that type of craft that Arnold reported. Do you know the photograph I'm talking about?
The guy in Phoenix, Arizona.
And it's just, yeah, it's a small, it's a black object. It looks like it's got a little light or dome on top, and it's got that curved back end on it.
Yeah, I don't remember a light. It was a daytime picture that I'm thinking
yes.
of. I can't think of the name of the guy. But it looks like sort of like the heel of a shoe.
Yeah, very much so. And is that, in your opinion, is that photo genuine?
I wouldn't be surprised. The guy was interviewed by the Air Force, but this is when things were starting, and the Air Force was treating it seriously instead of trying to explain everything away. They wanted to know what was going on, and they included that picture in one of the few top secret documents that we were able to get out of the Air Force years ago, when we were still interested in. Getting the original Air Force documents from 1947. I wish I could remember the guy's name, but I know there was one picture. There might have been more than one. Anyway, the Air Force investigators made a copy of the picture and put it into their top secret report, along with other sightings that they collected in the 1947 time frame.
We're going to move to your 1952 book in a second. I want to remind our listeners that if you sign up for our subscription service, the PowerCast Plus, which includes the After the PowerCast podcast and version of this show free of the network ads, for a long-term subscription, 5 years or lifetime, we'll give you a free coupon code for the phenomenon, which means you can download it free. And we only have a few of those coupon codes, so we need you to check it out right away. Go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus, for more information. Dr. Bruce McAbee is here. Got more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
With the presidential campaign in its final days, both President Trump and former Vice President Biden are talking about their plans for dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. Speaking at a rally Saturday in Flint, Michigan, Biden said he would push for a national mask mandate.
We're going to act to get COVID under control. On day one of my presidency, I'll put in action a plan, a national mandate, mask wearing, social distancing, testing, tracing, all things. As President Obama just said, that should have and could have been put in place months and months ago.
While President Trump touted upcoming treatments and vaccines to battle the virus at a rally in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
And our vaccine will eradicate the virus and end the pandemic once and for all. Americans will return to school and to life. By slashing red tape and cutting bureaucracy, we're producing this vaccine in record time.
USA Radio News. More than 90 million Americans have taken advantage of the opportunities to vote early, according to new data released on Saturday. That's nearly double the number of early ballots cast in 2016 and 60% of all ballots cast 4 years ago. The data from the U.S. Elections Project of the University of Florida predicts a turnout that will surpass the 138 million who voted in 2016 and could give the 2020 election the highest participation percentage in more than a century. More than 1 million Slovakians lined up Saturday to be tested for the coronavirus. The unique plan to try to curb a second wave of infections sweeping across Europe involved more than 40,000 medical, military, law enforcement, and administrative personnel to coordinate the day of testing at 5,000 testing sites. The goal is to eventually test Slovakia's entire adult population, with everyone over the age of 10, which is about 4 million people, to be tested in the next 2 weeks. The nation of around 5.5 million has reported more than 57,000 cases of COVID-19 so far. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Dr. Bruce Maccabee, and we're covering some of his background in covering UFOs. Of course, the fact that he got interested in the Kenneth Arnold case in 1947, was disenchanted by the Air Force's attempt to explain it away as a mirage. And I know there's a lot of stuff we want to bring you up to date on, but this book he did in 2018, The Legacy of 1952, The Year of the UFO, what really interesting insights can you present from that?
Well, first of all, the year 1952 was an amazing UFO year. There had been a flurry of sightings in 1947. This thing sort of began, the modern UFO. We could talk about UFO or strange things in the sky going back tens, hundreds, or thousands of years. But what I call the modern UFO period begins in June of 1947. For the first few months of June, July, and August, there were hundreds, maybe thousands of sightings. But this is before people were really alerted to something of interest. And so there weren't any civilian investigators. The Air Force investigated sightings because they were afraid there might be something to it. Now, we always have the conundrum of the crash at Roswell, and I sort of hold that at arm's length because the crash at Roswell was covered up immediately and didn't become alive again for 30 years, so it had no impact on what was going on with the Air Force investigation at the time of 1952, which was the next big flap year. And in the summer of 1952, the Air Force collected more sightings that year than any other year. And they were having, in June, July, and early August of 1952, the sighting rate got into the several tens per day. I think the one day, the July 26th or something, they had logged about 50 sightings in that one day. And there was so much going on that the press could not ignore it. They had, up to that point, the press had sort of considered that UFOs were part of the silly season. But when they got to the point where they were getting tens of sightings, and if you get the book, you can see some of the newspaper stories, like people see thousands of saucers or something, some huge numbers like that. Anyway.
I mean, obviously, like, thousands of saucers don't seem to be reasonable, but there were some really important sightings then, like the Washington National sightings, for example.
Yeah. It builds up in a crescendo starting in April. The number of sightings per week, shall we say, was increasing and filling the newspapers with stories. And then the Washington sighting, the first weekend of Washington sightings occurred, and there were Navy fighters, aircraft flying over Washington, D.C., chasing these things picked up on radar. That happened on a Saturday evening and Sunday morning, early Sunday morning. Then during the following week, there was stories that the Air Force had directed the pilots chasing these things to shoot them down. If they couldn't get them to land, they were supposed to shoot them down. And that caused a big ruckus in the press, because nobody knew what would happen if you fired on one of these things. The Air Force was caught in between trying to convince everybody there was nothing to it, and nevertheless tell the pilots that they had to chase these things and try to shoot them. There was a second weekend. Again, it was on Saturday night, the 25th, and Sunday, the 26th, I think it was, of July. They had more sightings over Washington, D.C. Now, these were not just visible sightings, but they were picking up targets on radar. And seeing these targets darting around on radar at high speeds and or hovering, types of things they weren't accustomed to seeing on radar. If you imagine an airplane flying on some pathway, some track, it goes in a continuous manner. It doesn't jump from one point to another. But these things seem to be, they'd be stationary at one location and then disappear from that location and pop up somewhere else. Well, all this stuff going on caused the Air Force to, put their foot down, you might say. On 26th of July, I forget the date now. General John Samford, who was the director of Air Force Intelligence, was directed by Vandenberg, the chief of staff of the Air Force, to hold a press conference. And I don't know if he would say there aren't any term words like explain it away, but it's clear that that's what Samford tried to do. He started off by saying that there had been hundreds of recitings of unbelievable things, or incredible things by credible people. He gave some hint of credibility to the sightings, that something had happened. But then he went on to say that he thought most of the sightings over Washington, D.C., the radar detections were a result of, and here comes this sort of a mirage for radar.
Right. Now, if I can ask you a few questions about this, because I think is really an understated sighting, or it has been for a number of years. I remember when I first looked at it, they had those photographs that were taken over the White House. But when you got looking at those, they were clearly just refractions off the street lamps. And I thought there was nothing to it. And it went out of my mind for years until I uncovered a lot of what you're talking about now. Now, they tried to explain this, like you were saying, as refractions of the radar, of temperature inversions. Now, I think if that's what they really believed, they wouldn't be telling their pilots to shoot at them, for one thing. The other thing is there was one aircraft that went up. These were F-94 jet interceptors. Like you say, they had them tracked on radar. Then the jet interceptor's radar locked onto it. Then the pilot made visual contact and said that his aircraft had been surrounded by these bluish white lights. Now, from an optical perspective, do you think it's possible for all three of those things to come together and still be some sort of an optical illusion?
Well, the refraction that bends the radar beam is much more effective on the radar beam than it is on visible light. There was the another case, which was in the FBI file, actually, is where I first saw it, where a pilot was directed to chase some target, and he picked it up. He said he could see a light up ahead of him, and as he's flying along trying to chase it, all of a sudden it sped up at a high speed, and the pilot, they could see this happening on radar. At the same time, the pilot was calling in saying he couldn't catch up to it. It was getting away from him, or to that effect.
That's exactly what the case I'm talking about, where his radar on his airplane also detected it. So I'm thinking if it was some sort of a temperature inversion mirage on the radar, I mean, why would ground radar from two stations and an aircraft pick up the same thing plus a visual sighting? I mean, to me, that just seems like it's going a little too far to call that just some sort of a temperature inversion illusion.
Let's do our break with Dr. Bruce Maccabee and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Dr. Bruce McAbee joining us with Gina Randall talking about the 1952 UFO flap, especially those sightings in Washington, D.C. Now, Randall asked Dr. McAbee a question that you have a response, Bruce.
The refractive effect, visible light, isn't as strong as it is on radar. So the Air Force tried to convince the press, and apparently did convince the press, that temperature inversion solved all these problems. Sanford, which is a press conference, didn't have any one of the people there who was an actual witness, except, well, they had people looking at the, watching the radar as this happened.
Well, these people were highly trained radar operators who were supposed to know the difference between a temperature inversion, you know, a radar reflection, and something that was real. And you can see that they clearly say that they didn't believe that these were all just temperature inversions.
Right. Captain Edward J. Ruppelt, who wrote the book, The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects, published in 1955, he was the head of Project Blue Book at the time, and he was also at the on the second weekend of radar detections. He was one of the witnesses to the radar itself, and there was one other guy who was a radar specialist, and they did not believe that these things were merely refractive effects of the atmosphere causing the beam to bend down and reflect off of targets on the ground. But when Sanford held his press conference, he said that aside from there being incredible reports from credible people, he said that as far as he was concerned, it was all natural phenomena, probably refractive index or mirage, the effect of a mirage on the radar, refractive index bending. And the press, for this long press conference, it took 80 minutes, the press left with stories like saying Sanford, flying saucers are all hot air, something like that. Well, the legacy left by 1952 was the idea that there was nothing to flying saucers, and any explanation is therefore okay. If the first explanation doesn't work, try another one.
Well, back then, too, in addition to Washington, D.C., they were also reported over the Hanford nuclear site. It seems like UFOs have always had an interest in the nuclear part of our development as a civilization. What is your take on that?
Yeah, they certainly paid attention. They're all over the place, but they paid some attention to nuclear places like I can't think of the name of the airport, Air Force Base in Texas. There was a Oak Ridge. You mentioned Hanford plant, where they,
right? Yeah, Los Alamos.
Los Alamos.
Yeah,
Oak Ridge.
Even Roswell, the Roswell Army Airfield, was where they were launching the Enola Gay out of, for, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And so it's
Kirtland Air Force Base. They had stored things. If you get the first of four books that I did recently, the FBI. CIA UFO connection to tell you all about the sightings all over the United States, including the ones over nuclear plants. They had some strange sightings over nuclear plants.
It's really interesting that you would mention Kirtland Air Force Base there, because now, and this is a question for you, because for our listeners who maybe aren't as familiar with you as people who have been into ufology for quite a while, you are a trained physicist and a specialist with optics. And according to your resume, you were the Navy's program manager for rapid retargeting of high-power laser beams from space-based lasers for the Strategic Defense Initiative Office, now the Missile Defense Agency. And this had to do with Reagan's Star Wars program back in the 80s. Now, when you look at Paul Benowitz's photos, and I'm not sure if you've ever checked those out, but they look to me very much like some kind of plasma that could be created by some kind of high-powered particle beam system, and that was all down at Kirtland Air Force Base, just like you were saying. What do you think of those photos? Have you had a chance to look at those Benowitz photos?
Well, I've seen some, I guess, many years ago. I haven't tried to investigate Miss Benowitz very much. There was an overlap of UFO sightings at Kirtland Air Force Base area. The nuclear facility. Anyway.
Would it be possible for laser beams to create some sort of a plasma effect in the atmosphere that would cause it to glow?
If you can focus it enough, get enough energy per unit volume. This can be done routinely with short laser pulses, like a few microsecond duration laser pulse that carries a few joules worth of energy, and you focus it down into a spot size a few millimeters in size. You get the electric field built up to the point where it rips electrons off the atoms, and that's what a plasma is a mixture of positive and negative particles, you might say. The positive atom is missing an electron, and the free electron itself. But to be able to make a plasma in the atmosphere at a long distance would require extreme power. Now, what I was working on for the Strategic Defense Initiative was big lasers, like with a multimeter diameter, 10-meter diameter mirror that you would focus at some rocket that's coming at you, a nuclear bomb on it, and try to heat the surface of the rocket to the point where you burn right through and the outer wall and destroy the internal electronics so that the thing goes off track and presumably crashes in the ocean or something like that before it gets to you. You have to be careful about shooting down atomic missiles because you might shoot it right into your own lap.
And, yeah, that's pretty high-tech stuff, super top secret. They're still studying some of that these days, but you don't hear much about it.
Right. And by the way, everybody asks me, well, they try to say this is all done to fight off aliens. And I have to say, I was at the many meetings that I attended between 1985 or 6 and 1996, many meetings I attended, I paid attention to where they were designed, what was part of the design, the overall design. Were they designed to fire outwards away from the Earth or inwards towards the Earth? Of course, the primary reason for having them was to be able to shoot down missiles as they're falling, a missile is following a trajectory from where it's launched, making a great big inverted U-shaped path to the target. And you would try to come along from some place within 100 miles or whatever of this missile and shoot it down.
Dr. McAfee, let's do our break here. More to come with Gene and Randall and Bruce. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.